This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Tuesday, September 21st. Good morning and welcome to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Today, the Catholic Church celebrates the Feast of the Apostle and Evangelist St. Matthew. We'll talk about this former tax collector and what we can learn from his example of following our Lord Jesus Christ with Father James Searby a little bit later in the show next hour. We start each hour in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of life, and patroness of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit here at the top of the show every day whenever we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Coming up shortly, we'll discuss the remarkable story of America's first Black Roman Catholic priest, Father Augustus Tolton, with Bishop Brendan Cahill. A little bit later, at the bottom of the hour, our tech expert Mark Mastriani will join us for another Tech Tuesday to bring us up to speed on how Facebook is making camera glasses and Apple can no longer force developers to use in-app purchasing. And we'll be talking with Mark about all of these things. We'll also bring you another new episode of Glenn's Story Corner, all that and much more coming up this hour here on Morning Air. Our power scripture from the playbook of life, as we do every day, is from Philippians 4:13. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." It is Christ who strengthens all of us. During these difficult times that we've been living through, during the pandemic, we have to always have a spiritual perspective on everything that happens in our lives. It is our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of the universe, who gives us the grace and the strength for everything that happens in our lives. Nothing happens without His direct will or permitting will. We have to have the faith that our Lord Jesus Christ is always with us. With Christ, we find strength. We find hope, joy, peace, and contentment, and even the most difficult, even the darkest situation. It is this power of Christ that transforms hearts and frees minds oppressed by discouragement of some of our present circumstances. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Now I want to bring in my partner, Glenn Leverins. Glenn, there's always a lot going on in the news. What are some of the stories that we should be keeping an eye on this morning?
Well, I tell you, John, and this kind of ties in with the opportunity I had last night to hear a great pro-life speaker, Melissa Oden, who survived an abortion attempt on her very own life, to be a great and powerful pro-life speaker today. And the irony of her story, too, is that happened at the very same hospital where my kids were born about a dozen years later. And so very powerful for me to hear. But pro-life stuff in the news. We know the Supreme Court this coming session is going to tackle the Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization case out of Missouri. A date has been set for that, December 1st. So really Aim Your Prayers for December 1st, the U.S. Supreme Court taking a very strong look at something that could overturn Roe v. Wade. And then, based on, as we know, that great fallout over the Texas law prohibiting abortion after a baby's heartbeat is detected, the U.S. House, under the leadership of Nancy Pelosi, looking to try and make into U.S. law, not just a Supreme Court decision, but U.S. law, that abortion should be readily available at all times, in all places, basically. And so that hearing will be coming up very soon. That, to note, even if the House would have enough votes to pass that, the Senate, of course, split. And this is something that would need to pass that 60-vote filibuster level, as opposed to just a simple majority with a vice presidential tie-breaking vote there. So still need some prayer for that one, too.
Absolutely. And the odds are that this would not pass in the Senate, even if it did pass in the House. And it really just kind of goes to show just how radical the left has become, because it's just absolutely unbelievable that this type of legislation is even being proposed. In fact, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops is calling it the most radical bill of all time. Those are pretty strong words by our shepherds.
Well, in all the pro-life work that you've done, it used to be in politics that you maybe had a view on abortion, but you hoped to kind of get through a campaign season without really having to talk about it publicly. Now we're having people really jumping to that chance to stake out their position against life, which, wow, that really speaks a lot to the times we're living in and the challenge we have to stand up for life.
Absolutely. Well, Glenn, that's what we do here at Relevant Radio. We are always bringing Christ to the world through the media and bringing the gospel of life through Relevant Radio to our listeners. So we always want to keep an eye, especially on these issues that affect life. As always, thanks. Much more later.
Absolutely.
Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, in June of 2019, Pope Francis advanced the sainthood cause of Father Augustus Tolton, who was the first African-American diocesan priest in the United States and the founder of the first Black Catholic parish in Chicago. Signing several decrees issued by the Congregation for Saints' Causes, the Holy Father recognized that Father Tolton lived a life of heroic virtue. And now the Diocese of Victoria in Texas is presenting a play on the remarkable story of America's first Black priest, Father Augustus Tolton, who is very dear, especially here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. Now joining us to talk about Father Tolton, from slave to priest, the remarkable story of America's first Black priest, is His Excellency Bishop Brendan Cahill. Bishop Cahill is the third bishop of the Diocese of Victoria, Texas. He serves as a member of the USCCB Subcommittee on African American Affairs and as a consultant for the USCCB's Pro-Life Committee. Your Excellency, Bishop Cahill, welcome back to Morning Air. Always a joy to be with you.
Good morning, John. How are you doing today?
Very blessed. Count my blessings, Excellency.
Good. All right.
Before we talk about Father Tolton and this amazing story, I'd love to get your reaction to the U.S. Supreme Court finally setting the argument date for this possible challenge to Roe v. Wade coming up here on December 1st. There's a lot of anticipation on this case. And obviously, since you work with the USCCB's Pro-Life Committee, I wanted to get your reaction.
Well, a couple of things. Actually, I'm not sure on the particulars of the setting of this date. Is this the Mississippi law that we're talking about?
Yes, this is the Mississippi law. Absolutely.
Good. Okay. Absolutely. Because, you know, I think for me, the important thing in framing the question is the science, to say that the child's life is a child's life. And so I know, like in our state, we passed a law. And it's controversial, but at the same time, it's able to frame a person's thoughts and ideas on, is a child a child? And so for us, it begins with that the human life to be protected. And so I'm hopeful, as we look at that with the science and understanding of human life, that, again, it backs up our view that we've held consistently for generations. And so I look forward to that day for the argument on the court, for how it goes forward, and that it gives an opportunity for us to really present clearly our understanding of the value of every human life and our need to promote the dignity of every human life. And I think Pope Francis, some of his comments have been very interesting and helpful for us, just to say, you know, get down to the very crux of the issue is there's two lives at stake, and promoting each life and their value in the whole situation. Actually, there's more than two lives at stake, but the mother and child we're looking at in the particular instance. So anyway, I'm hopeful for it. So I ask our prayers. I think that's the one thing that obviously I can never underestimate the power of prayer, so that for us, our fastings and our other prayers that we offer, our sacrifices, you know, take our traditional Lenten practices that we do sometimes just for Lent, but to say, let's do it throughout the year, and to say, let's do it for the protection of these unborn children. And then the other thing, I think, with our pro-life committee, I'm very proud of, with Archbishop Nauman's leadership, to promote how we're promoting the life of the child and the mother, the Walking with Moms in Need, that, you know, we're able to say that, you know, look, we want to have this family thrive, we're able to help, and we're marshaling our resources, and it's real that there are people that will help out. And so that Walking with Moms in Need has put together, you know, a website to connect people wherever they're at. It could be Texas, Illinois, New York, wherever, and to say, what are the resources available to help this young family? So I'd ask for prayers. I think for us, it's very important to continue to trust in God and to try to be a light for the world, and to shine the light on the value of human life as a gift of the Creator, who we understand as a Father, and the Father who sent His Son to bring salvation to the world.
Excellency, I so much appreciate your perspective and your leadership on this preeminent issue of our times. Let's turn to talking about Augustus Tolton. Can you give us your take on this very holy priest? Can you tell us who he was, Augustus Tolton?
Well, absolutely. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to share with this, because in a sense, Father Augustus Tolton was from slave to priest. So lived back in the 1800s and the 1900s, and very inspirational story as a young man. And it was a priest in Illinois who really encouraged him, an Irish priest who encouraged him to follow a call to priesthood with his holiness. But, you know, he couldn't find a seminary in the United States to accept him. The racism of the time was that they wouldn't accept an African-American candidate for the priesthood. So, but the priest helped him, and eventually he went to Rome to study, and as a Catholic, you know, Catholics global, universal, was able to go to the seminary in Rome with seminarians from all over the world, you know, saw the multiplicity of cultures, the beauty of the Catholic faith. Then he came back to Illinois as a priest, was ordained, and, you know, it's an incredible story, like the ups and downs, the perseverance, the sense of, once you have a call, that when God has called you, you know, you're going to fight for it, and you're going to continue for it, and you're going to persevere for it, and that you're going to continue with love for the people to profess the gospel. Even as we're talking about a pro-life, you know, against obstacles, you continue to profess it, you continue to go forward, you continue to trust in God. And so it's an incredible story of perseverance in his vocation. And, you know, the other thing I'd like to encourage is the art. You know, the actor, his name is Jim Coleman. A professional actor, has been on like Nickelodeon, has been different things. People might recognize him. And he feels a call to give his gifts, his acting career, for this play, to go around promoting Augustus Tolton. And so, like right now, he's going to be actually, I think, in Houston tonight at St. Joseph Catholic Church. And then he's going to come to Victoria next weekend and have three performances in, you know, public performances in Victoria, including at our Cathedral Center, including at the Welder Center, which is a community center in Victoria. And he goes around the world with this performance to give the message of Father Augustus Tolton to different groups of people, and to really focus on the sense of vocation, of service, of perseverance, and in the context of racism, to acknowledge how racism has affected our society, but in a way for us to go forth and say, there's things we can do. There's things we can do to stand up for the value and dignity of every human person. And so I really like to support it. It's St. Luke Productions. So your listeners can look at St. Luke Productions, Taught in the Play. But they also do other saints. They'll do Colby. There's other productions where these actors are using their skills to promote the lives of the saints. And each saint promotes the faith in our lives.
Very inspiring, the great work of St. Luke Productions. I remember seeing a play on St. Therese, the Little Flower, years ago.
Yeah.
That was absolutely fantastic.
Well,
so I'm sure the quality of this play will be tremendous as well.
Exactly. So you remember, it's really inspirational because the person is using their gifts for the glory of God. And so one of the things we're able to do here is we'll have some school performances for our school kids, junior high. And I think they say 10 and above because it deals with, acknowledging, I think, the things, the obstacles that he faced. But it's more like for 10 and above, but like for junior high and high school. And so we're going to have two of our performances will be geared for the students. And so I thought afterwards, that'd be great because these young people, you know, if they're wondering with their lives, how they want to use their skills, how they want to glorify God with what they've been given, to see, well, here's an actor in a production company and the St. Luke Productions. You just look at their website and see the variety of plays that they're offering now and their ability to go around. And I would just say if ever you see your church as one of those productions, it's, at least I have the same experience too. It's very inspirational. And to see the actual human, how to describe it, you see these saints are human beings who have extraordinary strength through their faith. And then it's inspirational for each of us to say, at whatever level of life I'm at, I can glorify God. And that's our call each day. And so whether it's, again, in the context of our talk today, if it's, you know, offering our prayers and fastings right now for a conversion of our nation towards pro-life to uphold the dignity of every human person and how we can live it, there are things we can do each day in whatever state of life we live.
Your Excellency, Bishop Cahill, do you think that a holy African-American priest such as Father Tolton can help our Catholic Church and our country in general heal from some of the wounds and divisions that we've seen about race in recent years?
Yeah. Well, I think for us, as the U.S. Bishops Conference, we did put out a pastoral letter against racism, another one a few years ago. And I think for me to acknowledge it's long-term work, that it's not going to be resolved right away. But the first is to acknowledge, in a sense, like even this in politics sometimes, people will say, well, when we talk about systematic racism, like, well, what does it mean? Well, I think what this gives the opportunity to say, well, an example was, okay, the early 1900s, there's a system that would not accept an African-American candidate for priesthood for whatever reason. And these systems existed for a long time in the United States. So I think that's what we would have to acknowledge. Like there were seminaries that would not accept an African-American candidate till 1960s, 1970s. And so they were long-term. And so even though we may have had laws to change them and we're trying to do better, it takes time to change the system. And for us, at least for me to say right now, how am I encouraging evangelization in the African-American community in my area? Are there things that may be, in a sense, where a system has held back our ability to evangelize? And so I think it's important at least to ask the question, to acknowledge our history. And then from there, to seek out. And what I encourage people, and this actually was last year, I got real good advice is Bishop Joseph Perry from Chicago.
Know him well. Know him well. Wonderful bishop here in Chicago.
A spiritual giant. You know what I mean? And he, after the George Floyd, he mentioned, like, you would encourage, I'm Irish American, but encourage an Anglo to ask an African American friend how they felt when they saw the George Floyd video come out. And, you know, I asked a couple of friends, and it really challenged me to realize the depth of pain that men and women were feeling, and you know, seeing that suffering, and almost feeling like we've changed so much, but there still is that racism where sometimes people are affected by it, and it really raised my awareness. And so that was one thing I encouraged here in Victoria, was just, you know, if we're wondering what to do, that was one practical thing last year, was for to begin the conversation and ask about it. And sometimes, you know, they're uncomfortable, we don't want to bring it up and things like that, but at least to increase awareness. And then from the awareness, you know, then it can lead to, you know, moving forward. And so, like for this, that's part of why I thought, well, told them to play, that gives a good opportunity to initiate a discussion and invite people together, and to have our young people see the play, see the performer, acknowledge the power of faith and our Catholic faith, which is universal, and to understand that, and then to go from there. And so I think that, again, it goes back to it. It's why I talked earlier, not to underestimate the power of our prayer and trusting in God. See, God has created humanity. God sustains us in being, and God is accomplishing salvation through Jesus Christ. And so for us to kind of keep our goal on that. I really appreciate the opportunity for this play to be able to show it. And that I want to encourage that people can look at the St. Luke Productions, can look it up, and they can do parish level things or diocesan level things, and can organize it. For us, there'll be five shows. Two are going to be for the Catholic school students. Three are going to be more for the general public. And in some of our towns, that I think will be a real source of grace for our community.
Well, Your Excellency, we really appreciate you coming on with us to talk about this very holy priest who's on his way to sainthood, with the Holy Father naming him venerable just a couple of years ago. Thank you again, Excellency Bishop Cahill, for being with us.
Yes, sir. And I pray for God's blessing to be with you and all our listeners today. May the peace and grace of God be with you, to grant you his healing and grace, and all to give you strength throughout this day. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you again, Bishop Cahill. Tolton, From Slave to Priest is the name of the play. His Excellency Bishop Brendan Cahill, the Bishop of the Diocese of Victoria, Texas, has been with us. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, our tech expert, Mark Mastriani, will join us for another Tech Tuesday. Stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air as the show continues after this short timeout.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
29 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's always great to be with you every single day. Now, coming up a little bit later this half hour, we'll bring you another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. Our number, if you want to be part of the show, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now it's time for another Tech Tuesday. Many things are going on in the tech industry. Apple just launched new products last week, including the iPhone 13. In fact, my wife and I are actually seriously considering upgrading to the iPhone 13. So this is something that's on the minds of many people across our country. In fact, Apple was recently in a battle with Epic Games. Facebook launched their new Ray-Ban story. So to talk about all these things is our tech expert and longtime Morning Air contributor, Mark Mastriani, with the latest in the tech world. Mark is a passionate Catholic dad, husband with 20-plus years of technology, new product development experience. For all things faith and tech, you can follow Mark on his new Twitter account at GodLoveTech. God Loves Tech, at God Loves Tech. Good morning, Mark. Thanks so much for being with us, as always, for another Tech Tuesday.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Glenn. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well. I count my blessings as always. And, you know, before we get into this battle between Apple and Epic Game, I just wanted to share with you, I was thinking about you over the weekend because we went to our local phone store and we were looking at the iPhone 13 and seriously considering, I'm thinking, wow, I wish Mark was here to give us some advice because it can be really intimidating trying to figure out what's what, which is the best one, how much better it is. Do you go with the brand new one? Do you go with the lesser models? There's always a lot of questions when you're shopping for a new iPhone.
There sure are, John. And I think what I learned most about this most recent product refresh from Apple, about a week ago, we learned that everything in the entire ecosystem has gone through a small evolution. There's no revolutionary new products from Apple this year. That's okay. They've been evolutionary for now since 2007 when they helped to pioneer the smartphone era. You know, if we rewind the clock, we talked about the BlackBerry back in 05, 06, 07. The iPhone was actually in response to a smartphone that was already dominant across the corporate world. Here we are in 2021 with the 13th generation of the iPhone. It's the 9th generation of the iPad. It's the 7th generation of the Apple Watch. It's the 5th generation of the iPad Mini. All of these things are becoming more and more ubiquitous. Think about what it means to travel, right? Even on a long road trip or if you're on a flight, what do you bring with you? It's very likely some kind of tablet, whether it's an iPad or one of the iPad's competitors. What about, what do you put in your ears? What are you wearing on your wrist to get you alerts? When you're at work and you want to be discreet about notifications that you're receiving, do you pull your smartphone from your pocket? In 2021, you don't have to. You can have either an Apple version of a smartwatch or the Samsung or Google version of these smartwatches where you can discreetly check your wrist to make sure it's not a family emergency. What is available today is really impressive and inspiring. We should go in with a good amount of prudence. It's one of my favorite words here on Tech Tuesdays. And look at these products and be ready to do the research necessary to protect our privacy, the privacy of our data, and use these pieces of technology in our families with prudence.
Mark, how important is it to make educated decisions, doing your homework, doing at least some minimal research so you can figure out what is what? Because there's so many different varieties of products just on the iPhone alone. I mean, I found it daunting. I spent quite a bit of time just reading through all the differences between the iPhone 13, the 12, the SE, and then going all the way back. I actually have an iPhone 7 that I've had from a number of years, and so it's about time to upgrade, but I just wasn't sure if going to the latest, most expensive model is the best way to go. And so I'm sure there's a lot of folks out there who may be going through the same thing where their phone, their battery's starting to go bad and it's time to start looking to upgrade, but they're just not sure where to go. And what kind of advice would you have for somebody that might be looking to upgrade these days?
Thanks. That's a great question, John. And again, I would go, yes, with eyes wide open. I would strongly recommend that someone who is looking for a brand new device not just grab for the newest bleeding edge technology. When you're looking at the entire iPhone lineup, and I know this is only one carrier, this is only one manufacturer, right? We can do the same kind of analysis across the Samsung lineup, across the Google lineup. What you should be aware of is that there is something for everyone. You don't need the newest and latest and greatest within the iPhone 13 lineup. If you are someone who is very serious about your photography and specifically your videography, and you don't know if you're going to be on a particular trip where you can take your elite, you know, professional high-end equipment with you. That's what the iPhone 13 is kind of positioned to the very high-end creators, right? Their screens have a variable refresh rate. What does that mean? It saves battery. If you're only just reading a book on the device, you don't need the screen to refresh 120 times per second. That's the 120 hertz refresh rate. What you need is something that does the job, right? Something that makes phone calls, that can browse the web, that can send and receive text messages. And even Apple has something for the mainstream, for the masses. You mentioned the iPhone SE. It's on its second generation. They took the iPhone 8. They upgraded the screen and the central processor, the chip inside. It is a really good, solid, mainstream phone. And it's only $399. So don't feel the pressure unless you are an elite, high-end photographer and videographer. The 13 might not be for you, right? If you are a parent and you're taking lots of photos of your kids and you want something that's going to look good, that's something to consider. The 12s are still available. Even the 11s are still available with excellent cameras and very good photo and video capabilities. The 13, really, especially in the Pro and the Pro Max 13s, they've positioned themselves for very high-end creators.
They're also trying to attract new buyers with huge discounts. So it turns out that you can actually get the 13 for less money than the 12 or the 11 when you figure in the discount. So it's all marketing. They're trying to get the folks to buy the latest.
Yeah, it's a good point. Something to consider when you're looking inside of an ecosystem that you're already a part of, look to see if there is a turn in your latest device for the newest device. There is a program for various manufacturers, not just Apple, but including Apple. If you are someone who always wants the latest thing, Apple does now have a program where if you have a device that's roughly 1 to 2 years old and you want to turn it in and upgrade to the latest for a very small fee, like maybe $100 or so, you're kind of part of it's kind of like leasing a car rather than buying, right? You've already paid a high amount up front for one of your previous pieces of equipment, whether it be iPhone 11 or iPhone 12. They do have a program for those who want the very, very best, who always want to push the boundaries of latest technologies. You can turn in your Apple devices. Do some research on this one. I'm not a part of this program, so I can't speak about it with great detail, but look into being a part of the ecosystem that you like, the hardware and the mindset and the behavior of these companies, and consider some of these hardware upgrade programs. The last thing I'll say about that too, also, John, is buy now, pay later programs. All of these manufacturers are partnering with various credit cards or Affirm, which is a small bank, which allows you to buy now and pay over time or pay later. So again, use prudence. It is credit. There's a small interest rate when it comes to paying later for these devices. But with interest rates so low, if you're someone who's pushing the boundaries of latest technology and you're getting the value out of the technology, something to consider being a part of the ecosystem of one of these manufacturers and or using the buy now, pay later programs.
If any of our listeners have a comment or question, or perhaps you're considering upgrading your smartphone, your iPhone, your Samsung, if you have a question for our tech expert, Mark Mastriani, we do have open lines. You can call us 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Mark, I love that you make the analogy with leasing a car, because I was saying to my wife, in some ways, buying a new phone is kind of like buying a car. You got to be prudent. You got to know what you're doing. I think prudence is very important. You don't need a $50,000-$60,000 car necessarily if that's not what you need. If a $25,000 car does the job and fits your needs, then you go for that type of model. The same thing with these expensive brand new phones. I think it's very important to just make sure you understand exactly what you need, how big of a phone, how much power, how many cameras, all of that stuff.
Yeah, and again, it's looking at our faith and looking at our virtues. Are you feeling compelled to get the latest devices out of envy, keeping up with the Joneses?
Exactly.
Or do you need it? So let me
do we really need three cameras is what's going through my mind. Do I really need three cameras on my iPhone when my iPhone 7 has shot some gorgeous photos and videos?
So true. Yeah, the subtle differences between what you can do now compared to a year and a half, 2 years ago is so subtle that only professionals can really see the difference. The last thing I'll say is look at the entry-level products in each of these categories. The iPad mini, the iPad Generation 9, which is designed for students, right? It's designed to be used in classrooms. It's under $350 for the entry-level model. The iPad mini has a bigger screen now, 8.3 inches. It's got a better chip. It's got a very good front-facing camera for FaceTime with your family. That one's right around the $400 mark as well. Consider what's at the very entry level of the newest products. They are much more affordable. They have a lot of the main features. They don't have the high refresh rate, so you might get a little glitchy when you're watching football and the running back is sprinting down the field. But if that's your primary use, start to look up the lineup of the technologies. Think about what you're going to do with the technology first, then start to shop.
Sounds great. Mark, we definitely want to talk about the battle between Apple and Epic Games. But first, we got to take a short break as we continue our conversation with our tech expert, Mark Mastriani. Stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales, coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
46 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us as we continue our conversation here on Tech Tuesday with our tech expert, Mark Mastriani. Mark, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you.
Again, our number, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149, if you have any questions for Mark. Mark, let's talk about this battle between Apple and Epic Games. What is going on?
Sure. So in a nutshell, Epic Games is the producer of a wide variety of video games, including mobile games. So what happens when you want to publish a game that people will play on these iPhones and iPads we've just been talking about? You go to publish your app to the Apple App Store. You submit your app for consideration. They review it for its security protocols. They give it a test run using their test equipment, and they either approve or deny your app to the App Store. If you get approved, okay, then if you sell your product on their App Store, Apple receives 30% of every sale on their platform. Google is very similar. There's some fee structures and exceptions for both cases. But what Epic Games attempted to do is to have a mobile app that you can play on an iPhone or iPad that had no or low fee through the App Store, that you paid Epic Games separately. You would register to play the game through Epic Games website, and that would enable you to unlock the app. So Epic claimed that Apple is a monopoly. They are controlling, their restrictions are too high and they take too much of a fee. Therefore, Epic had to go around the App Store fee structure to be a profitable business. Okay, so let's take a look at this from both ends of the spectrum. In 2012, I created a Catholic-based app for the App Store called God on the Go. In 2012, I didn't know how I was going to reach customers. I knew that the most popular platform in schools so far was the iPad. The Chromebook is now roughly equal to the iPad in classrooms, but the iPad has a slight advantage in some classrooms across the country. So I knew that if I was going to get onto those devices, I was going to go through one and only one portal. So in a sense, Apple does have a monopoly. If you're going to get an app on their devices, you must go through their App Store. Well, the court decision that's just been made is that, yes, you can pay for a service or a product outside of the App Store, but Apple is still permitted, if you are going to launch a product through their App Store and leverage their economies of scale, their ecosystem and their distribution network, they will take 30%. So the judge kind of ruled both and instead of either or. The judge said Apple can do what it's still doing, and companies like Epic Games can do what it wishes to do as well simultaneously.
And Mark, we're talking about commercial apps. Would this also affect in any way nonprofits like Relevant Radio?
So if you don't charge a fee for anything on your app, it has no impact, right? If you want to launch a product on the App Store, there's a small fee for your products to become listed on the App Store. It's a small fee. It's like $100 or so to just get listed. If you charge anything on your app for premium services, that's where Apple gets 30%, okay? Yes, you can also apply for nonprofit status similar to schools, and then the rate drops. It depends on which kind of nonprofit or school you are, but there is a lower rate for nonprofits than for schools. But for the most part, if you don't charge anything on your app for premium services, this rule doesn't really apply to you. So I was mentioning the two ends of the spectrum, right? If you're someone like I was in 2012 with no customer base, trying to reach Apple's distribution network, it makes sense to simply abide by the rules that Apple has set up. If you're someone like Epic Games, who already has an ecosystem of millions of users across all of its video game titles, you don't necessarily benefit from the Apple ecosystem. You're bringing something that's attractive to the ecosystem, and you don't need what is kind of bundled into that 30% price. You don't need their ecosystem, their name recognition, their distribution network. So again, it was a very interesting decision that it was kind of a both and. I love to see what's going to happen next, because what several articles I've read say that even if you're Epic and you're going to take payments outside of Apple, you've just made your life harder. So one of the benefits of letting Apple take care of those payments is that they can do so because of their size. They can do so in a way that is very clean, very direct, very safe.
Mark,
by allowing others. Yeah.
I started to say we have Marcella calling us from South Carolina. She had a quick question for you. Marcella, welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Mark Mastriani.
Hi, good morning. I might switch the topic a little bit, but I was wondering if you had any advice on the smartwatch for kids, for a 9-year-old, just for communication purposes, any security, safety issues that we should be aware of?
Thank you, Marcella. This is a great question. It's something that my family and I are going through ourselves. We have our youngest daughter is just about to turn 9, and we did get her a Gizmo watch. So what is a Gizmo watch? It is a watch that can only make a phone call or a text message to 2 or 3 people max. It can receive calls or text. It can make calls or text in the case of emergency. It has a few little simple apps like an alarm clock and some reminders. Gizmo. It's only available through Verizon Wireless. And it's approximately, I think it was about $100 upfront with about $10 a month thereafter for the service. But that's what our family and I like to use. It's outside of Samsung, Google, Apple ecosystems. There's no access to social media. It is only for purposes of secure communication with your family.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Marcella. I hope that helps. Mark, we're running out of time. Real briefly, we got less than 2 minutes. Just your thoughts on Facebook making camera glasses. What's this all about?
Yeah, real quickly. So the Google Glass came out maybe 7 years ago, and it failed pretty horribly. It was too clunky, and it didn't look very good. Spectacles came out from just about 6 years ago or 5 years ago, and that was okay. A few people tried it. This is Facebook, right? Facebook now has smart glasses. They partnered with Ray-Ban, right? A stylish glasses, a name synonymous with style here in America. And they have multiple models and multiple colors, but now you can see the internet from your smartphone on the lenses of your sunglasses. Okay, so is this good or bad? To be determined. Keep in mind, why would Facebook want to have a hardware product that you wear, a wearable product? There's two answers to that question. The first answer is Facebook is ad and revenue generated through primarily ads. So they want you inside their ecosystem as long as possible throughout the day. The second thing is they've made a huge investment in augmented and virtual reality. So this is their first step that you're going to see into a lot more AR and VR going forward.
We're going to have to leave it there, Mark. It seems a little creepy that somebody could be recording you right through their sunglasses, but we'll have to keep an eye on this new product. As always, thank you so much for being with us, Mark.
God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Many blessings to you. Mark Mastriani, our tech expert for all things faith and tech. You can follow Mark on Twitter at God Loves Tech. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called I've Come to Help by Steve Goodyear. You may remember the old Flip Wilson routine where someone asked the comic about his religion. He answered, I'm a Jehovah's bystander. A Jehovah's bystander, remarked his friend. I've never heard of a Jehovah's bystander. And Flip said, well, they asked me to be a witness, but I didn't want to get involved. In these troubled times, I think Edmund Burke is right. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil, he says, is for good men to do nothing. We can complain about injustices, we can lament the suffering of the world, even feel sorry for the helpless plight of others, or we can do what we can, even if it's only a little. Theodore Roosevelt read a book by New York newspaperman Jacob Riis titled How the Other Half Lives. We often think of the other half as living in luxury. The other half are those who are powdered and pampered, the rich and famous, movers and shakers. But the book did not describe the wealthiest few of society. Instead, it described the slums of the city, with all its vice and crime, families living in poverty and fear, too afraid to leave their homes after dark. The other half, said Reese, were the poor among us. Theodore Roosevelt was moved to action. He went at once to the newspaper office where the author worked, but Reese was not in. Roosevelt left his card and wrote on it, "Have read your book and have come to help." He did not say, "Have read your book and have come to discuss," or "Have read your book and have come to compliment you on your writing." He said, "Have read your book and have come to help." I'm only one, but I'm still one. I cannot do everything, but I can still do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do. That from 19th century writer Edward Everett Hale. He speaks to me today. Luke 10:33, "But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him."
Thanks so much, Glenn. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, International Catholic Evangelist Martha Fernandez-Sardina will be with us for our weekly Remember You Are Loved series to discuss what to do when your heart is homeless. And on this feast of St. Matthew the Apostle and Evangelist, we'll talk about the meaning of this feast day and what we can learn from this former tax collector who followed the Lord with Father James Searby. Don't change that dial. There's a lot more to come on this Tuesday edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.